In the same way that you cannot teach a student calculus prior to learning basic math, neither can the mind develop in a haphazard manner whereby it skips over essential levels of development. When the ovum in a woman is fertilized by the sperm of the man, it is called a zygote, and the zygote then begins to divide in the process of becoming an embryo, which continues to divide as it develops and differentiates in humans, eventually forming a fetus. Thus, in their mental development, there are people who remain as a sperm and ovum, others who have begun to progress and can be portrayed as zygotes, and as they further develop, they can then be seen as a mental embryo. Important information on the development of a physical embryo can be obtained at where it states that part of our mind that is spiritually connected to our true or soul self, C, is in the center or heart center, the very first part of our mind or self to develop. The purpose of our body is to bring about the development of our essence self, which is brought about through wholeness of mind and thinking, as explained at above at spiritual osmosis and the narrow gate. The essence mind can only be nourished and developed through thoughts and impressions that are whole and the balance of the four gates of the 12 spheres of mind. And therein lies the problem, that is, because of the lack of balance and wholeness of the thinking and lifestyle of the vast majority of people, our essence self cannot grow and develop, and we remain alien and ignorant of our higher true or soul self. Thus, in the words of Jesus as preserved in the Gospel of Thomas, we remain in intellectual poverty. All of these levels of the human development of the mind is portrayed in the gospel teaching that is contained in the second epistle of Clement, where this ultra-important teaching that was removed from the gospels modern Christians use is quoted as stating, "At our core essence of our consciousness, our soul or true self is a being of light, see, the divine pattern which is holographically replicated into all of creation, means that as the soul is expressed outwardly in the next level of consciousness, the soul exists at a threefold level, and is comprised of the separated male/female polarities and the third force balance or offspring. At the next level of expression, the male or heavenly polarity is expressed in the three upper spiritual centers/chakras, while the female or earthly polarity is expressed in the three lower spiritual centers/chakras, with the third force balance continuing as the heart spiritual center/chakra. The bioenergy or vital life force then moves out to the level of mind, which is the pattern of the 12 spheres of the tree of life. See the process of birth within the tree of life, wherein the soul is evolved through the interaction of the opposite polarities of both male and female in the tree of duality, and the upper heavenly and lower earthly kingdoms, all of which can only be brought through the center and narrow gate, when the impressions and thoughts generated by the mind is drawn through the center and into the narrow gate, where the vital life force can then bring about the transformative alchemical process of mental expansion and spiritual deepening. Without achieving the necessary wholeness in the generated thoughts and impressions, the bioenergy is rejected by the law of octaves and is lost out into nature. The image of the Star of David placed over the mind as patterned in the diagram of the 12 spheres of the tree of life, placed over the physical body of man, is the fulfillment of the law of octaves, wherein the duality of the upper three spiritual centers is resolved in the triangular point at the bottom, and the duality of the upper three centers is resolved in the triangular point at the top, which enables the vital life force that carries the consciousness of the person through the formula for wholeness and the narrow gate. Jesus taught that the kingdom can never come upon the earth, because it is within your own mind and being, Luke 17:20-21. But what does that mean? It means that if you were to move beyond the superficial human level of organic consciousness of your present ego-driven personality, that God dwells within you at the core of your mind, and being in the kingdom where all the hierarchy of angels and heavenly hosts dwell at deeper levels of consciousness than is manifest in your physical or ego self. And what this also means is that beneath our organic earthly consciousness lies deeper levels of consciousness that is beyond organic man's level of comprehension, which also means the self that is portrayed in the adage to know thyself exists beneath your organic level of human consciousness, existing at deeper levels of self that carnal man knows nothing about. And what this fact ultimately means is that each person has a pre-existent soul or soul self that our worldly personality is an expression of and is our true self. We hear the terms ego self, earthly self, false self, carnal self, and lower self used in conjunction with the mind of man. And if this is true, then what is our true self? It is the self that is portrayed in the adage to know thyself. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus states, "If you are going to take a journey, you would consult a map that you would use for direction. What is known as the tree of life is the blueprint of the 12 spheres of mind that is patterned in the image at the right, and is the embodiment of the Trinitarian divine pattern that is holographically replicated into all of creation. C. The 12 astrological symbols, the 12 tribes of Israel, as well as the 12 disciples of Jesus, are all allegorical symbols of the blueprint of the mind of man, presenting in symbolism the level of consciousness of the 12. The Nag Hammadi Library of Christian Scriptures was buried and preserved when the Roman Emperor Constantine took control of the church and further corrupted the scriptures. See, can I get an original pure copy of the scriptures? And the above teaching of Jesus on the coming of the kingdom has been preserved in the Gospel of Thomas, which states, when Jesus taught his followers to the duality of the heavenly and the earthly is comprised of the three spiritual centers in the head, which are the heavenly centers. The three spiritual centers in the lower abdomen are the earthly centers and are in opposite polarity, which are the opposite half of the upper spiritual centers. The upper heavenly and the lower earthly opposites can only be brought together by the male and female opposite columns of the tree of duality, which is the outer columns of the tree of life, where the copy of the above teachings in the Gospel of the Nazarenes makes reference to the bioenergy. The cross you must bear to your own crucifixion. Can you understand the meaning of the cross from the perspective of the crucifix? What do you see? Jesus hanging on a cross. Which provokes the question, how do you pick up your own cross daily and travail in the way? As Jesus commanded, that is. No other words have been more misunderstood than what is personified in the deeper meaning of the cross than the critical concepts of crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Let us just say they are so loaded with heavy dogmatic baggage that their actual spiritual meaning is hopelessly lost when it is realized that the words apply to each and every person in human existence. While crucifixion obviously refers to an old method of executing people by hanging their bodies up on a cross and letting them die, if we believe that is the meaning of crucifixion when used in the scriptures, then it prevents us from understanding that it can have many other meanings pertaining to the nature of life and how the lost prodigal son gains freedom from the citizen of this, the far country, in his quest to return to the Edenic kingdom. The universal mystery of the symbol of the cross, in the approximate year of 178 of our common era, Celsus, the Epicurean philosopher and opponent of Christianity, published a rather embarrassing work in opposition to Christianity known as the True Word or Discourse. It is said that this work was widely published and used by the pagan world as an attack on the church. 70 years after its publication, the True Word was still so widely circulated that the church father Origen was commissioned by St. Ambrosius to refute this attack by Celsus. This publication and the reply by the church father Origen is so important to modern-day Christians who are attempting to bypass the corruption of the church by a series of Roman emperors beginning in the 4th century, that it should be a starting place for all sincere seekers of truth and the way. Who was Origen? Origen is called. When Celsus attacked the church for being the original Ebionite Nazarene disciples and followers of Jesus were condemned as heretics portrayed as in achieving wholeness, Pythagoras taught the importance of the feminine intuitive mind. Quoting the Wikipedia, an interesting scientific article can be found at Discovering Our Full Potential, resuscitating the female principle. What Pythagoras understood that his male counterparts did not is that the feminine intuitive completes the male linear perceptive vision of man's reality that can only be contemplated when the two halves of the mind are brought together as explored at when man meets woman and when understood. Einstein also had the answer to the dilemma when he stated, one of the greatest lessons the people of our modern culture must learn is that equal does not mean the same. Perhaps this is best expressed in the introduction of the long-ignored book, What is the Conditions of Your Birth and Station in Life? While many of the original Ebionite Nazarene followers and disciples of Jesus, as well as the pre-Nicene spiritual Christians, could readily answer important questions that has alienated modern man from a higher reality that he is in denial of, most people who have been programmed with the modern atheist paradigm of thought will conclude that their birth was fate or chance and accident or even luck. Yet, in reality, none of these choices are accurate. Whether you were born rich, poor, in a third world nation, or with a silver spoon in your mouth, or somewhere in between your religion, your occupation, your country of origin, whether you are a male or female, your sexual orientation, liberal, conservative, libertarian, atheist, Marxist, environmentalist, anarchist, whatever your present station in life is, not only the manner you entered into this life was determined prior to your even being born, but the laws of God has scripted and preordained all of your possible choices and opportunities that have been presented to you as if you are walking through a labyrinth where the measure of your free will is the determination of what choices you will make with the options that are presented to you. When rightly understood, this world is God's schoolhouse for his prodigal sons and daughters, and in the same way that when a child attends school, there is a syllabus and curriculum in order to ensure that the process of learning is accomplished in the proper steps, so too is the learning environment of this world. The laws of nature and the law of octaves. When our constitutional framers expressed the words, the laws of nature and nature's God, they were making reference to both the law of three as manifest in the divine pattern of creation, as well as the law of octaves, which holographically is embedded throughout every aspect of all that exists. When deism is portrayed as deism, is the standpoint that reason and observation of the natural world, without the need for organized religion, can determine that a supreme being created the universe, see deism. It was because the American Gnostics, who were deists, understood the higher reality of the laws when overcome, is a harnessing of the laws within one's own mind and being that, in the above words of Uspensky, makes books and libraries entirely unnecessary. Why would overcoming the laws within oneself render books and libraries entirely unnecessary? Those who overcome the laws and emerge out of what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being or the illusions of Plato's cave are able to see and understand all things for what they truly are and are thus travailing the path of the soul's journey of enlightenment. And one of the primary concerns of our deist constitutional framers was creating an environment where the natural laws of God could function at a higher level and permit the people to evolve to their higher potential that organic man simply could not even begin to comprehend. Though the pattern of the law of three and the law of octaves is holographically present throughout all of creation, it is perhaps easiest to see, hear, and observe in music. Again, let me stress the fact that while the manifest laws at work can be demonstrated more easily in music, its far-reaching reality is prevalent throughout all aspects of life in this world and beyond. The only difference, then, is that the same sequence of law is more difficult to observe throughout the other aspects of life, but quickly becomes apparent once one is cognizant of the pattern and sequence. The same pattern that is found in music has been noted in what is known as Newland's Law of Octaves, that is related to the arrangement of elements in the periodic table. If elements are arranged in the order of their atomic weights, the eighth element starting from a given one is a kind of repetition of the first. It is said that once Pythagoras recognized the relationship of music and math and established music as an exact science, Pythagoras then applied his law of harmonic intervals to all the phenomena of nature. He went so far as to demonstrate the harmonic relationship of the planets, constellations, and elements to each other. If we look at the picture of a typical keyboard, what we see is the whole notes represented in the white keys and the half tones in the black keys. Regardless of the fact of whether we understand music or not, what we should quickly recognize is the easily discernible fact that not every whole note interval has a half tone. Why? Why isn't there a half tone between the third and fourth note on the keyboard and musical scale? Also, why isn't there a half tone between the seventh and eighth note of a musical scale? Though the answer is very simple, the reality that is portrayed is so esoteric and beyond physical reality as we know it, that the most accomplished musicians cannot supply you with the answer to the enigma and enigma that is holographically true of all laws and envelops every aspect of our lives and creation. Man's physical body is programmed for his spiritual failure. Our physical body is of the earth, it therefore is not a vehicle that is the natural environment of man's higher soul and spiritual natures. What this means is that if we are to manifest our higher natures and rise above the inherent carnal limitations of our physical body/vessel, we will be required to make a conscious effort, even a superconscious effort, as we endeavor to overcome the laws that are the ruling forces of this natural world. Once again, our physical body is comprised of earth matter and is not naturally acclimated to support man's higher aspects of mind and being. And this is the reason why Paul warns that the natural mind of man cannot even begin to perceive or comprehend the higher reality of the soul and spiritual natures. See Mystery of the Gospel. Judging and rejecting these higher truths as utter foolishness, and even heresy, that the physical body and mind must be purifying and transformed in order to gain access to those higher areas of mind that are able to perceive and comprehend man's higher soul and spiritual reality. And the fact that this transformational process requires much effort and work on oneself is portrayed in the words of the disciples where they stated, We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22 NKJ. If we are therefore bound to this physical realm by the natural laws, then it is of the utmost importance for us to be cognizant of the effects of the law as they interact with every aspect of nature and life. If we pose the question, is man's physical body imbued with the laws that inhibit him from fulfilling his spiritual goals? As we look around us at the natural world, it is important that we be cognizant of the fact that we see the absence of straight lines. The leaves on a tree or plant, the outline of a mountain range, the formation of rocks, as well as the very physical bodies in which we presently dwell. Straight lines do not exist in nature. Why? Because these laws which we can hear and observe on a keyboard cause all things to change direction in midstream. In the same way that we cannot clear our minds and focus on a single thought, as we attempt to walk the path of spiritual enlightenment, the laws of this realm will constantly work to lead us off the path to life. Returning once again to the keyboard, starting from the leftmost key, we can see the first note. And between the first and second white keys is a half tone, which is represented by that black key. Thus, the black key represents a half step or half tone between the two white keys, which musicians call a sharp or flat. The same is true with respect to the sequence of the second to third note. Then, between the third and fourth note, the pattern suddenly changes, and we can observe that there is no half tone between these notes. Why? Because when we play the notes, the frequency of the fourth note is actually a half tone, and yet it artificially and falsely sounds to our physical hearing a whole step increment. Why? Why does our ears hear a half tone in the third to fourth sequence as if it is a whole? Well, this is not true in the first two intervals of an octave. The enigma is caused by a twisting of the frequencies when they are played in sequence, but this twisting is not only true of the musical scale, but is holographically true and representative of a pattern which is indigenous to all such sequences of law throughout all of creation. What this means is that while we can hear this law at work in music, and observe this law at work by virtue of the physical placement of the keys on a keyboard, this same pattern remains universal to all the laws that control this world throughout every aspect of our lives. The result is that when we think we are hearing what would be portrayed as a straight linear path, our physical senses are subject to an illusion within the construct of the laws, resulting in the fact that we are inadvertently turned off the linear path without ever realizing that our direction has been altered by the natural sequence of laws, which immerse every aspect of this physical realm in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, or the illusions of Plato's cave. In the first place, we must understand that an octave is comprised of seven notes or sequences, as is the pattern of the seven colors of the rainbow that make up white light. As the seventh note is stepped into the eighth sequence, the first note of the sequence is double the frequency of the first, and is repeated as one octave higher than the initial note played. What this means is that there is seven notes, which complete the sequence before the first note is repeated one octave higher than the first, as in the common musical sequence do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, with the second do being the same note as the first, but only one octave higher. For those who don't understand the musical scale, there is no variableness in the beginning and ending of the first sequence that makes up the octave, because the frequency of the eighth note, which is also expressed in the term do, which commences the next higher octave, is double the frequency of the first do. And this is why whole notes only consist of a repetitive A through G sequence. Limits of the organic mind. Linear thought and fragmentation. While from a human perspective it could be asserted that there is an inherent congenital defect in the hearing of man that causes him to falsely hear the interval between the third and fourth sequences of an octave as if it were a whole step, regardless of the fact that it is a half step in the frequencies of the musical sequence, and failing to understand the reality and higher purpose of this long-ignored phenomena, it is as if mankind continues to dwell in a self-imposed dark ages that has gravely inhibited his progress. In fact, all the poverty, all of man's sufferings, violence, conflict, and bestiality that men inflict upon other men is all the result of man's self-imposed ignorance of the knowledge of the laws. On the other hand, mystics and those who have long understood the movement of the laws of creation have known that this interval between the third to fourth sequence is in fact a testing point of the laws, a test for completeness and wholeness, to see if we are prepared to move beyond that point in the physical and mental limitations of the body vessel. But it has been virtually impossible for natural organic man to make any real progress beyond the level where he is presently at, because pseudo-intellectuals reject the wisdom that has been presented to them. the biblical authors all warned that man's higher soul and spiritual reality, as set forth in what was portrayed as the mysteries of the kingdom of God, was beyond the comprehension of organic man in his natural, earthly carnal mindset. See mystery of the gospel. And yet, both man's religious and political leaders have long ignored their witness. In the same way that man is deaf and oblivious to the fact that the 3rd to 4th and 7th to 8th sequence of the musical scale that he hears is not a linear progression as he imagines, he in like manner remains oblivious to the fact that both his line of vision and his rational linear thought that he relies upon to evaluate his experiences in this world is subject to the same testing and twisting that is easily demonstrated in his hearing. What this means is that organic man's rational thinking is totally unreliable to evaluate what he sees and evaluates, because what appears to be linear is an illusion that he is not at all even aware of. In the same way that the listener is not aware of the frequency shifts when the notes of an octave is played back to him, and what sounds to his physical ears to be a linear incremental progression is not at all true, the same is true with respect to both his vision and what he would consider rational thought and reasoning. The result is man's inherent blindness and suppressed rationale that inhibits his ability to properly evaluate what he thinks he sees and understands. Why? Very simply, because of the carnal blindness inflicted upon man by virtue of the organic limitations of the body vessel. And when these natural organic limitations are understood, the reality which confronts man is seen in his inability to grasp only a mere fragment of what he sees and comprehends. And perhaps the perfect example of the problem is presented in a poem by John Godfrey Saxe, which is based upon a fable told in India. It is a good warning about how our inhibited sensory perceptions and limited organic logic can lead to some serious misinterpretations, especially when the investigations of the component parts of a whole and their relations in making up the whole are inadequate and lack coordination. It was 6 men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, "Ho, what have we here, so very round and smooth and sharp? To me, 'tis mighty clear, this wonder of an elephant is very like a spear." The third approached the animal, and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands, thus boldly up and spoke, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out an eager hand, and felt about the knee. "What most this wondrous beast is like, is mighty plain," quoth he, "'tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, "Even the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact who can. This marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope, than, seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right, and all were in the wrong. The moral: so often in theologic wars, the disputants I are between the rails of utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about an elephant not one of them has actually seen. From the enlightened perspective of the mystic, the inherent problem of human blindness is even greater than what is presented in the above fable. The 90th chapter of what is known as the Gospel of the Nazarenes preserves this higher reality that plagues organic physical man. The one truth has many sides, and one sees one side only, another, and some see more than others, according as it is given to them. Behold this crystal, how the one light is manifest in 12 faces, 4 times 12, and each face reflects one ray of light, and one regards one face, and another, another. But it is the one crystal, and the one light that shines in all. Like the blind men, what is presented in the above gospel quotation is the reality that by law, different men perceive the same truth differently, and that each perception of the one truth is both valid and fragmented. And in understanding the laws and their effects upon organic man, the deist framers of the Constitution ensured that each position based upon each individual man's perception was protected. Our constitutional framers understood that because each man's perception, understanding, and mind is segmented, and that in his organic natural condition, each man is only able to see mental forms and allegorical symbols, see above the illusions of the forms of matter that have been impressed into the images of nature, that each individual man's perception is not only representative of a valid perspective, even though it is different than that of other men, but that each man's fragmented perspective is an integral part of the whole. But because each man's perception and understanding is a fragment of the whole, few men possess the intelligent perception to realize the fact that his rational linear reasoning is totally insufficient to evaluate what his very limited perception and organic consciousness is presenting to him. And it was the realization of this reality that organic man was inherently blind to by virtue of the limitations of his physical senses and consciousness. That was expressed in the shock of Einstein, "See Science Proves Religion," when he stated, "All my attempts to adapt the theoretical foundation of physics to this new type of knowledge failed completely." It was as if the ground had been pulled out from under one, with no firm foundation to be seen anywhere, upon which one could have built, in much the same fashion. The European physicist Niels Bohr stated that the great extension of our experience in recent years has brought to light the insufficiency of our simple mechanical conceptions and, as a consequence, has shaken the foundation on which the customary interpretation of observation was based, which confirms what Einstein wrote in Analysis, that we may therefore regard matter as being constituted by the regions of space in which the field is extremely intense. There is no place in this new kind of physics both for the field and matter, for the field is the only reality, quoted in M. Capick, The Philosophical Impact of Contemporary Physics, and the words of physicist Walter Thuring, who wrote that modern physics has put our thinking about the essence of matter in a different context. It has taken our gaze from the visible, the particles, to the underlying entity, the field. The presence of matter is merely a disturbance of the perfect state of the field at that place. Something accidental, one could almost say, a blemish. Accordingly, there are no simple laws describing the forces between elementary particles. Order and symmetry must be sought in the underlying field, Erbostein der Materie. What this means is that only the mystic who has endeavored to consciously develop his latent intuitive spheres of mind possesses the ability to observe and comprehend what man's very fragmented linear rational, intellectual, thinking is totally blind to, which enables the mystic alone to perceive the source and underlying causes in the etheric field that is the source of what man perceives in the forms of matter. Thus, mystics have long warned mankind that the reality of this world of appearances is not at all what it seems to be through the perception of man's physical eyes and senses, that is, that there is a great deal more that man's senses and perception cannot detect or even imagine. And this same enigma of the limits of man's physical senses was noted by Albert Einstein, who concluded with respect to man's dilemma when he stated, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." And what the mystic has warned is that because man's religious, philosophical, cultural, and educational institutions have created a society that honors the rational servant and has forgotten and suppressed the development of the intuitive gift, thus blinding mankind to the underlying cause of all that man sees and experiences in this world, man remains perpetually lost and blind in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness, or what the philosopher portrayed in the analogy of the illusions of Plato's cave, see cave. The enigma of the law of octaves, the checksum of the law Tesla, the bridge between religion and science Tesla, frequency and vibration of mind, spiritual osmosis, and the narrow gate, original sin and spiritual osmosis, accessing the universal source of knowledge, the limitations of science, the scientific evolution, energy, consciousness, the plight of the prodigal son, the process of fulfilling the law, the seduction of the prodigal son, the narrow gate, and the enigma of the law of octaves, the eyes only see at the level of comprehension, the test of the law of octaves, the cosmology of mind, the law of octaves, and the narrow gate, the formula for wholeness, and the octaves,